The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with FBD Insurance. Protecting Irish people for 50 years. Visit fbd.ie today.
Welcome back to the programme. Now, Randy Newman will be playing in Dublin's Vicar Street on the 9th and the 10th of March. And we've a pair of tickets on today's lyrics competition. And not only that, but you will also win a pre-theatre dinner at Eli Wine Bar at Eli Place in Dublin. And the drill is as follows. I will read out three sets of lyrics, and when I read out the third, you can text the song names to 51551. And the first one is roll down the window, put down the top, crank up the Beach Boys, Baby Don't Let the Music Stop. So that is Ivara Hain, and we will be at Ivara though in a little while. Now, moving swiftly on, the most famous man in the world was tweeting quite strongly this morning. Michael Wolff is a total loser who made up stories in order to sell this really boring and untruthful book. He used sloppy Steve Bannon, who cried when he got fired and begged for his job. Now sloppy Steve has been dumped like a dog by almost everyone. Too bad. As you may have guessed, I'm adverting to a new book by the American journalist Michael Wolff called Fire and Fury Inside the Trump White House. It's certainly causing a bit of a storm in the US. It's easy to understand why the president's lawyers attempted to have the publication banned. The extracts alone were quite damning, and claims made by his former, I mean, but there were questions being raised about his mental fitness to serve. Claims by his former chief strategist, Steve Bannon, are the focus of much attention, not least his description of the infamous meeting between Donald Trump's son and son-in-law with Russians during the 2016 elections. If you remember, it was in Trump Tower. Now, David Smith is Washington Bureau Chief of the Guardian and was one of the first people to read the book. Good morning to you, David, and thanks for taking our call. I hope you're not dying of the cold over there with the weather.
No, it's fine. It's pretty cold, but I think you're very good at reading Trump's tweets. You should do more of them. You give it some real finesse.
Yeah, I could be tempted to. I'm trying to wean myself off his tweets. But anyway, let's go back to one of the problems sometimes discussing Mr. Trump is people are very extreme. They either hate him or think he's the most wonderful person in the world. But what people often forget is that a lot of this is very serious. My button is bigger than your button kind of thing. We're talking about nuclear armaments, you know?
Indeed. I mean, that was an extraordinary start to the week. A tweet about the size of his nuclear button. And comedians in America have pointed out there is that paradox where, you know, you feel we're all going to die, and it's also hilarious and absurd at the same time. So, you know, political satirists have certainly had a field day with Trump all year. And as you said, this book raises the prospect of, I mean, it talks about, you know, farcical events at the White House and Trump going to bed at 6:30 p.m. with a cheeseburger and Just some fairly ludicrous things, that paranoia about being poisoned, which means that he goes to McDonald's where they won't know he's coming for food. But at the same time, it's deadly serious in terms of the consequences for, you know, American society day by day watching this unravel. But also, yes, the threat of nuclear war with North Korea.
Yeah, it's kind of not really amusing. Now, in that tweet that I read out, he talked about this boring book. Well, I mean, that's just not true. It's not boring. But will you give us the essence of the book? Is it just a bad-tempered, spiteful book, or is it an informing book?
I think it's informing if you take some of it with a pinch of salt. Basically, Michael Wolff is a journalist from New York who's written a biography of Rupert Murdoch in the past. He gained some extraordinary access to the White House, apparently by flattery. And he said yesterday that he was willing to say whatever it took to get access. Some have said he's a rule breaker like Trump himself, and he says he interviewed more than 200 people in Trump's orbit and over a year or so or more, and he's really produced this astonishing fly on the wall look at both the Trump campaign during the election and then the administration, full of juicy gossip, stories about factional infighting, of incompetence, and disturbingly sort of ineptitude on the part of the president himself, who is said to never read briefing documents, just to sort of make things up on the fly. And according to Wolf, everyone he spoke to, the one thing they all universally agreed on, White House staff and even Donald Trump's own family, is that he is not fit for this office. He's just not up to the job.
Do you believe that? I mean, you'd be inclined to think that his daughter would be loyal and would not be saying to journalists, "My father isn't up for the job."
And certainly, on the record, normally she would not say that. But Wolf's view is that Ivanka Trump and her husband Jared Kushner are now in a legal quagmire over these allegations that the Trump campaign colluded with Russia. And if in that instance, they're going to blame their father rather than themselves. I think there's certainly been pushback from the White House, who described the book as tabloid trash, and as you say, Trump has said it's full of untruths. Some journalists as well have also questioned Wolf's credibility and track record. But what's interesting is that the prevailing view from neutrals and everything you read is, yes, there are some provable sloppy mistakes in the book. You have to be skeptical about some of it, but the fundamental underlying narrative basically rings true, and it confirms a lot of reporting, both on and off the record, that others have done who are very very close to the White House.
Right, and there was a description, or was it a report? I can't remember which, of a private dinner with Stephen Bannon and Mr. Ailes and the writer himself, and somebody queried how that might be, but actually it transpired he was the host of that particular lunch, and he was very close to Mr. Ailes, who subsequently died. Apart from all the juicy bits, as you say, though we are all low-minded enough from time to time to like the juicy bits, it would appear that the conclusion is that this is going to lead to money laundering and to Mueller's investigation into money laundering. Now, we actually covered Joshua Green. We spoke to Joshua Green on this programme about Steve Bannon. But will you remind our listeners of who Steve Bannon is? I suppose I should also say whom he was and his significance in all of this.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big win for Michael Wolff with this book is that, you know, his star witness, if you like, is Steve Bannon, and he has not come forward to deny he said any of this. And everyone seems to think he was quoted correctly. Steve Bannon is the former head of the Trump campaign towards the end of the election, and he was the chief strategist at the White House for the first 7 months. And He is really seen as the personification, if you like, of some of Donald Trump's darkest impulses on being pro-nationalist, some would even say a white nationalist, in favor of building a wall on the Mexican border, cracking down on immigration and declaring a trade war. He's a former naval officer and Goldman Sachs banker as well. And some of the most astonishing words in this book come from Steve Bannon, talking about the investigation into alleged collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. He says that Trump's son, Donald Jr., was unpatriotic and even treasonous for taking a meeting with Russians at Trump Tower in June 2016. And he also predicts that the investigation will run and run. And he makes the point that he thinks Special Counsel Robert Mueller is going to focus on the issue of money laundering.
Because one of the things that Steve Bannon said, and you would be inclined to agree with him, that when the Sun was approached that they had some dirt on Hillary, and he was delighted, you know, and said we'd love to have a meeting to get the dirt on Hillary, then of course claimed that wasn't what it was about. But I mean, Bannon seemed to ridicule them for being so stupid, first of all, to meet in Trump Tower, and secondly, not to meet without lawyers.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it was something typical of the unstructured, disorganized way the Trump campaign operated, that it was a British publicist who approached Donald Trump Jr. and said, hey, you know, got this person from Russia with dirt on Clinton, and Trump Jr. just went along with it, and they had this meeting at Trump Tower without lawyers. Steve Bannon finds it, he said, a zero possibility that Donald Trump himself did not know about this meeting, although Trump has always denied that.
Yeah.
And you know, Bannon says, you know, it's unpatriotic, it's treasonous, it should have been reported immediately to the FBI. But if you know, if you are going to have a meeting like that in the name of opposition research, then at least do it way out of town. You know, he says, you know, go to a Holiday Inn in Manchester, New Hampshire, and also definitely have lawyers at the scene and let the lawyers sort it out, and then later leak it to the media and make sure your fingerprints are not on it. So he's not necessarily condemning it purely on an ethical basis, but also on a pragmatic one.
Right, on a stupidity one. In The Guardian, he was quoted, I presume this was you, you realise where this is going. This is all about money laundering. Explain the money laundering bit to us.
We already have a money laundering allegation charge in this case, and that is against Paul Manafort, who was a Trump campaign manager before Steve Bannon. And I was in court watching him a couple of months ago when he and his deputy became the first big names to be indicted as part of the special counsel's investigation. There were multiple charges, including that you know, Manafort funneled millions of dollars into his account, and at least some of that money was tied up in Russia. Bannon specifically named Manafort, but you know, intriguingly, with regard to money laundering, he also named Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner and son Donald Trump Jr. Now, as things stand right now, there's not particular evidence of money laundering against them, but it was reported in the New York Times recently that Jared Kushner's bank records had been subpoenaed from the Deutsche Bank. So some found that ominous for him, and so there's been a swirl of speculation around him for some time. Donald Trump Jr. in the past has certainly spoken about doing a lot of property deals in Russia, again worth millions of dollars, and Steve Bannon's theory was, you know, both of them and Manafort will be rolled up, as he puts it, will be used in order to bring down Donald Trump himself, you know, whose own business transactions with Russia have long aroused suspicion. So he thinks that's the way the investigation's going, and the argument would be that if money laundering had taken place with Russia, that would have given the government in Moscow leverage over these individuals. You know, for example, leverage over Paul Manafort, who was the Trump campaign manager.
Yeah. Why would you think Steve Bannon has turned on his, you know, he was so thrilled with Trump. He was called the great manipulator, so he could manipulate behind the scenes. And he clearly is very, very bright. What? Why would you think he has turned so viciously on this man whom he helped to become President of the United States of America?
That's a question certainly being debated in Washington this week. What is his game? Because he does seem to have sort of burned the house down around himself and been punished and banished to the wilderness as a result. It could purely be a matter of ego and hurt pride. He was forced out of the White House in August and may feel he has nothing to lose now. And so you're seeing this gigantic collision of egos. It could just also be wanting publicity, wanting to sort of stick the knife in. Particularly, there's absolutely no love lost between Bannon and Trump's
family
like Ivanka and Jared Kushner. And what's an important point towards the end of the book is a sense that Steve Bannon has really lost faith in Donald Trump. You know, he regarded him as an imperfect vehicle for Bannon's own ideas on economic nationalism, on populism. And he says Trump has lost it, that, perhaps he's conceded too much ground to the moderates, including his own children. And so perhaps Bannon is just ready to move on. I mean, it's even sort of suggested that Bannon himself might run for president in 2020, which is probably a case of, good luck with that.
It's like the soap opera running on. But mind you, Bannon has paid a price. It is alleged. I don't know if it's an actual fact or not yet. But according to Mr. Trump this morning, the Mercer family recently dumped the leaker known as Sloppy Steve Bannon, smart, and they were very important to his Breitbart Business News. Look, just a last question, because it is full of juicy gossip, and don't you know we're all going to enjoy those bits again? What do we learn about Melania from this book? I mean, she goes around like a sphinx beside him. There was the time she brushed his hand off on one of their foreign trips. She did it twice. Where does she fit in as First Lady?
I think perhaps the crucial point it makes is that she doesn't, that she's a very distant, remote figure. Somebody even says that, in many ways, Ivanka Trump is the effective First Lady and much more prominent. Some of the interesting bits about Melania include how she was horrified by the prospect of Trump running for president. He assured her he had absolutely no chance of winning, which he believed, as did many of his team, until election night itself, when he suddenly looked like a ghost, when he realized
he
might win, and Melania was in tears that night, and not of joy. And then at the White House, the book tells us they occupy separate bedrooms. So it's the first time since the Kennedys. And Melania is just kind of not very involved, and would appear not particularly close to her husband, who sits in bed with that cheeseburger watching three TV channels.
Right. There's nothing wrong with the cheeseburger. Everybody's going on about the cheeseburger. We've all had one of those in our lives at some stage.
Me too.
Anyway, whatever Mr. Trump says, boring it does not appear to be. And I presume it'll go on and on. And he will be the one that will keep it going on with all these tweets. But there you go. Listen, thank you so much for taking our call so early in the morning. That was David Smith, Washington Bureau Chief with The Guardian. Now, before we go to the break, let me give you another lyric. You got troubles, I've got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together and see it through. We take a break.
Podcast The Marion Finucane Show at rte.ie/radio.